Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rupp from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. All right, our topic today, as we have not prepared too much, is just a topic that Matt and I have been having lots of conversations about, so I thought we'd have a podcast recording about it, which is our continual frustration with why people don't do marketing. And by people, I mean business owners and people with businesses. And it's something we talk about often, we come across often, we see examples of it. And in some ways, it's frustration. It's also the source of, you know, finding clients who want to do marketing, and it's an advantage for them. But what are your first thoughts on this topic and where you'd like to go with it?
I have a couple different places to go, one of which is that I'm probably just being sensitive and a weenie. Like, do you think that insurance brokers are mad when people try to find their own insurance, or plumbers are mad when they try to do their own plumbing, in the way that I get mad when other businesses aren't doing marketing?
Oh, I think so. If you've ever had a plumber who's like looking at a mess that someone tried to do themselves, they get really angry.
Okay, so this is natural. I feel a little bit better about that.
And a lot of brokers, yeah, I've talked to insurance brokers, and what's kind of funny about the way you put that is they do get mad when people go direct because people don't necessarily understand the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Yet they don't always have a great reason why that person should go with them. And sometimes going direct is just all you need in certain situations. And also sometimes they don't go to you because you didn't do any marketing and they didn't know you existed and they didn't know any better. So that's why they made that choice.
And before I get fired up, I'm trying to, like...
You're already fired up.
I'm fired up walking into this podcast about other stuff. But yeah, I'm trying to be reasonable. And I did think about this morning while I was thinking about this conversation a little bit. I think a lot of people believe that they are doing marketing. And a lot of people are doing marketing in some way. To people, some people, marketing is having a sign on their store. They have that. To some people, and marketing is customer service. It's the in-store experience. Maybe they're focused on that. Some people think that marketing is a vehicle wrap. That's fine. So maybe it's the definition of marketing that I need to be more careful about before I get fired up about these things. And that would be more inbound, outbound type of marketing efforts without getting into actual definitions and stuff. But the idea of doing marketing and doing things that are pushing different ideas out there to people while you don't need to talk to them, meaning they're going to see an ad, an email, see you on a search engine, see you on social media, and then hopefully reach out to you. And they're a bit warmer of a contact at that point. So I would maybe... we define marketing a little bit better of the idea, because you're going to get people that turn around and be like, well, I do marketing. I do great authentic marketing and run my business into success. So maybe I'll be a bit more reasonable in that regard.
Yeah, I want to be reasonable and compassionate as well, because I don't want to slag people. But specifically, the resistance that I see and hear is often certain types of marketing. And it goes along with a frustration that they're not getting the success they want. So, you know, marketing from, you know, there's a few different definitions, but it is a mix of a lot of things. So a vehicle wrap is part of marketing. Your sign, part of marketing. Word of mouth, what you say to people, all of these things are part of marketing. But when you're not getting the results you want, usually that means you need more marketing activities. And as you grow a business, the mix of activities you do sometimes gets a bigger mix. It's regular, planned, consistent. I find a lot of small businesses confuse paid advertising with marketing. Mm-hmm. So they'll say like, oh, I don't want to do marketing. And what they mean is they don't want to put an ad in the paper that doesn't exist. And maybe that is not something that's worth their time and money anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's this resistance to any type of external marketing. They want people to guess that they are amazing and just show up at their door and give them money. And that, to me, I find frustrating because a lot of these businesses have something so great to offer, and then they get frustrated because nobody knows about it. And then that's like a point of pride. They're like, oh, I'm the best kept secret, and I get all my business word of mouth.
That's ridiculous. Sorry.
And it's ridiculous because I've met most people aren't, they're not, they might say that they're okay with that. They might say, oh, I don't need marketing to survive and keep the lights on. But I've never met someone who's consistently profitable and growing who doesn't have their own version of how they market things and what they do that works. Like, if you choose to be in business, you choose to be in marketing, and if you want to grow to a certain scale, you just have no choice but to figure it out.
Maybe it's marketing agencies and marketing businesses' fault for not better defining what marketing is then too.
Oh, I think it's definitely their fault, or even explaining what they do of it. Because one of my jokes I talk about, every time I meet a digital marketer, they all think they do the same thing. And every single one does something completely different, and they have a different mix. And that just fits different with different businesses. And people get turned off when they just do the complete wrong thing. And it doesn't work as well.
And that's what I've learned too, is people will come to me with the idea that they want to do marketing. And in their mind, marketing is defined as, let's say, social media posts. And I turn around and say, well, marketing to me for your business means getting found on Google with search engine optimization. And I think that will sometimes rattle them, or they'll say that they've tried to do that in the past and that didn't work, so all marketing doesn't work. I don't think that they understand, like you just said, I like the idea of marketing activities. There's marketing as an overall banner, and then there's dozens, hundreds of marketing activities. Because one marketing activity didn't work does not mean other marketing activities are not going to work.
And the truth that I've come to really understand and see is most marketing activities won't work, but some of them will really work, and there's no guarantee which those are. So you need to be doing those consistent, planned activities. You know, we could sit here and dig into things that you've done that don't work at all, and then something does work, and it makes up for all of it. And part of having that approach of, like, consistent, planned, doing stuff, you're going to find the things that resonate
with
people. And you're not just going to randomly guess that. You know, the other day you were talking about the Thrive Golf Tournament's coming up. And you sent out some emails and money came in from them. You would never have randomly guessed that that's the one thing you should do that would get you money over something else. It's all kind of part of the overall just culture of marketing and trying things, because you have lots of emails that went out that got $0 back, but then you get some that get lots back. Like, that's just how regular marketing works sometimes.
It is. We generated over $3,000 since we announced the tournament 1 week ago from 5 different businesses. It's a pretty good return in less than a week. It's not even that warm out yet. People aren't thinking about golf. It almost felt easy. And you'll laugh because I know what you're going to think. It's like, it's easy for me because I've done it 100,000 times and I've put that work in, I've put the process in and everything. And it's kind of supposed to be easy for me now, which was cool.
And what's cool is, like, and this is the part where I think people resist it because they think, well, it should be easy. And I've come in my own thinking, because in my mind I will know, like, well, do this and, like, it should work and it's easy. But it's setting up the system And then going through a few failures is not easy. Like, it's the persistence that's really needed, but it comes back to those regular, consistent marketing activities.
Oh, it's funny too, because I'm trying to piece together a bunch of now definitions of like way you and I talk outside of this and how other people also understand it, and a couple different ideas of, we talk a lot about marketing systems. So there's a bunch of different marketing activities in that system. And people will point out, well, that activity doesn't work or it sucks. But they don't understand the entire system and what that activity is doing for the rest of the system.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it's going to work on its own. It's a silo. I sound insane. But it's like a silo thing where it's working and it's doing a specific task. In some cases, it is working with the flow of the other activities where this needs to impact the other ones and everything. And I do think when it comes to the idea that people pointing out, okay, that marketing activity doesn't work just because I'm doing it for my B2B, business-to-business, service-based business, doesn't mean that I would do it for your retail business, right? There's very different marketing activities that I would utilize for retail than I would for a service business. And then even within service businesses, if it was an HVAC company, I would use certain marketing activities. And if it was a plumber, I would use maybe potentially other marketing activities. And I think people are just too black and white with it, where they think marketing is this marketing activity, probably social media, and I can do that myself, and or I've done it myself and it's not working, and obviously I know better than everybody else, so no marketing works whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, some of the resistance is not knowing what to do, maybe not trusting someone to help guide you what to do, because, you know, most marketers are going to guide you to the thing that they sell. Also, sometimes you just don't know who your target market is, and you've like ended up having a business and you're not really quite sure how to grow it or what to work. That's another reason that people are hesitant. A big one, I've just recently completed a Trauma of Money course, which we'll do a whole series on. But when people get in scarcity mindsets and scared, which is every business owner, your what we call fault tolerance is really low. So people want things to work right away. They don't have a lot of money. So it's like, if I'm going to invest, you know, $100 in something, I need it to work. And if it doesn't work, they beat themselves up and they're like, oh, I'm an idiot who doesn't know marketing. So their tolerance is so low that they avoid doing it altogether. And part of the understanding, if you're going to grow a business, like, you need a marketing budget of time, money, resources, and not doing it's not going to help you kind of out of that trap of that fault tolerance either.
Yeah, and you say people feel like they're an idiot because they don't know how to do marketing. I don't know how to cut hair. I don't know how to fry fries. I don't know how to fix a sewing machine. I don't know how to sell a bike. I'm comfortable saying those things. I have an ego. I don't know how big my ego is. I'm sure you could comment on that. But like, I've got an ego about marketing. I'm confident in my abilities. I truly wrote this in an email this morning. Yeah. Like, I am saying this now, but like, I won't vocally say that I am the best, but you're damn sure I believe it. And I will go about my business that way, and I'm very confident. But I have no problem saying, like, I don't know how to do those other things. I'm going to go get my hair cut. Have you seen people that cut their own hair? Their hair looks terrible. I will challenge someone to show me a picture of them doing their own hair. That looks good. We have a mutual friend that comes in often for coffee, for video and photographs. I think he cut his own hair, and it looks terrible.
That's funny.
Anyway, like, I don't understand. Well, I do understand, because I've had this theory for a couple of years about, like, business owners, we all think that we can do it better. We think that because we're a business owner, we're supposed to wear all these stupid hats, right? We're wearing our accountant hat and HR hat and marketing hat and sales hat and leadership hat and WSIB hat and culture hat and all these things. We don't need to be wearing all those hats.
Yeah, and that's a big, I think, another just conversation with people who end up in businesses, at least in the circle where we're coming across these people, where that again is comes from a scarcity mindset of, oh, I can't trust someone to do this, or I can't pay for someone to help with those things. And that's not how you grow a business, especially people who are really great at solving a problem and they want to grow it and they have dreams of having a big team and a fleet of vehicles out or whatever that is. You can't just do it all on your own. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do it on by yourself. And when you when you see people who have, or they'll say, oh, I did all this myself, and you actually start talking to them, they always have like a marketing team, or they have like all of these people around them who have helped them with that stuff. And yeah, they led the vision. Mm-hmm. They built it themselves. But that doesn't mean they didn't have any help at all.
Yeah. Somewhat side note is I like to think about the times the people that have been most vocally upset about my marketing and my marketing systems and my marketing activities, I can tell you where they work part-time now.
Yeah.
Or those businesses that aren't there. And the idea that they thought that they had a better widget or the grass was greener with their own ideas. I think it's very different also when you are doing marketing activities for your own business versus the idea of, again, multiple businesses recognizing different things and pulling them from other areas too.
Oh, definitely. And I think too, again, not to slag on people, but sometimes marketing, it's being comfortable in, even if you decide, hey, I'm going to do this on my own, it's knowing what it is you want. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're in a spot where you just have to feel out all these things that work and you're getting to know your customer. But it's still marketing activities and you are investing that time and resources and wanting to do it yourself. And the mindset you would, you know, would benefit from would be when you figure that out, it's hiring someone to take over for you and what you figured out and what to do. But it's the resistance to any type of marketing that's going to hold people back. And I don't know that I've ever met anyone that I would call business successful who had just resisted doing marketing and actually been able to grow. And definitely not grow to their potential.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people get to the point where they don't want to pay money for marketing and they just choose not to do it and they don't even want to try. But they're just leaving money on the table, in my opinion.
Yeah, and those are the people that probably have the most questions about their business and growth and where are we going to make more money and how are we going to get more money. And step one would be marketing activities, getting yourself out there, telling people who you are and what you sell.
There's a great podcast episode I listened to on Mike McAllowitz's Profit First. And I forget who it was, but it was someone who was like a physical therapist who lives in Florida now. And he grew his business in the UK. And he played this fun game where he's like, ask me a question about anything that I have and I will tell you how I got it. And the answer was marketing.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, how do you have such wonderful children? Marketing. Marketing himself to his now wife, right?
Yeah.
It was like the answer to everything to him was marketing. And there's no magic answer to what that means either. And I think that's the scarcity as well. People want the solution that works.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about marketing is there is no guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that are probably going to work if you consistently do it and you have confidence in it, I have confidence in it, but there's no one magic bullet. Otherwise, you would just do that for other businesses and build those businesses yourself. Like, everyone has their own mix of what they offer that they're trying to communicate out there.
But like, what product or service has a guarantee? Like, any of them?
Nothing really.
You get warranties for stuff. I just bought appliances in November. That was, how many months ago? 5 months ago. One of them broke already.
Yeah.
And we had to use the warranty. Meg just bought an expensive purse, more expensive than she normally would, like just under a year ago. It's broken already.
Wow.
She was like, well, I'm going to go spend more. Chelsea had it, and she's like, oh, Chelsea's so stylish in this. So she like bought the purse because it was a bit more expensive. It's going to last longer. They had like a warranty on it. And then it broke. It wasn't ripped. She didn't do anything. Just the zipper in the middle, like it wouldn't stay closed or whatever. So she reaches out and was like, hey, I got this purse. Like, what can you do? Like, can you replace it? And they're like, oh, the best we can do is give you 20% off your next purchase.
Wow.
Like, why would we buy it again? It broke.
Yeah.
20% off something doesn't work. Just replace it. Like, there's no guarantees on anything. Product, service, nothing. You go to a restaurant, you're not guaranteed to not get food poisoning. You're not guaranteed to enjoy it. You go buy a furnace, you're not guaranteed that that thing's going to last forever. The appliance might last like a year.
But this is funny because it's in business, it's all about risk and taking risk. And when you own a business, the perks of owning and the rewards of owning when it does well is taking that risk of going out and marketing it. And just because you have a great product or a great service, it's not going to market itself. There's lots of stories of great businesses and great ideas that just never go anywhere or do anything because they didn't do marketing and nobody guessed that they existed. And I do think there's a lot of like business owners I meet who are, they're so good at what they do that they kind of just hope that it's just going to grow on its own without like the marketing component.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people kind of grumble with bigger businesses that maybe have more money that you do see marketing all the over the place. Look at McDonald's. Look at the big box stores. Look at them at any sporting event or any event or anything like that and on TV. Like they're the ones that everybody knows who McDonald's is. You still see marketing from them every single day. Do I need to be reminded that McDonald's exists? Probably not.
But when you do, you're more likely to go there, and McDonald's knows that. That's like we were talking about, I turned on some wrestling, and it's like a commercial for WrestleMania sponsored by Snickers came up. And I was like, oh, Snickers. Do I know what a Snickers bar is? Yes. Do I regularly buy them? No. Does them just saying Snickers over and over to me make me probably going to consider one next time I'm at the gas station? Probably yes. And they know that when they pay, you know, millions of dollars probably to WrestleMania to sponsor that, the number of people around the world who are going to next time choose the Snickers is going to be enough to pay for that and more. But they're still going to sell stuff every day the rest of the year, but they need to be in front of people and just remind the right people that you exist.
Yeah, and they just sold the center ring sponsorship, which they have never done before, of putting an ad in center ring all the pay-per-view events. They used to call them pay-per-view events, but they're called something else now. But pay-per-view events of Prime. I don't know if it's an energy drink or if it's just a drink, that Logan Paul one. It's not as popular here in Canada.
I heard of someone who wanted to get it. Was that your kids, maybe?
My kids, probably, because...
Oh, my friend, shout out to Nick Holmes. His kids, too, I think, ordered it from the States and were, like, super excited about that drink.
Because he's, like, it's Logan Paul. I don't know if it's entirely his. I don't know the business structure. But, like, it's his business. It makes a lot of money. I think it's one of the most. This is going to sound, no, that can't be right. You can't even think of what I'm thinking right now. But it's a very successful drink business in the last couple of years. I think they just sold it for X amount too. Like millions of dollars, maybe a B, maybe a billion. And look what they just did. Like they just now sold more sponsorship to get more eyes on them. And laugh all you will about wrestling, but like the thing I heard the other day was the WWE channel on YouTube is the 10th most subscribed channel in the world with over 100 million subscribers.
Oh, wow.
And if you look at that list, it's just kind of fascinating to see what's on that list. It's like more popular than Bieber and It's quite interesting.
I don't really laugh about it. I like, I'm not super into wrestling, and I've never been super into it, but I'm a casual fan who kind of comes and goes. And even, like, I don't really watch YouTube myself, but, you know, TikToks or other things, when wrestling stuff comes up, I'll watch it because I'm fascinated by the characters, some of the storylines. It takes me back to different parts of my life. And as a huge brand, like, you know, it's built itself really nice. This has turned into a wrestling podcast. And
we need to do an episode. But
the cool thing about wrestling is, like, they have a long-term vision. They market it. They do all sorts of things to market it. People choose to market with them because the audience is engaged, and, you know, Snickers, Slim Jim, the Logan Paul drink, certain things fit for that. Every business can have a vision like that and do some kind of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the thesis of this episode is really trying to overcome that resistance of people who just don't want to do marketing. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, is this a fight I want to fight?
I think about this too.
Or is this the fight you and I want to fight? Because it's an advantage to work with people who get it and can just beat those people out in the market. But at my core, and some of my core values, is I want business owners, people in my community, I want people to do well and succeed. And I see so many people offering something great, and then they grow it to a certain point. They don't want to do marketing. They don't make enough money to really sustain it. So they end up closing down, and then I'm a consumer who's mad because my favorite businesses disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think of now, I'm thinking of all my favorite businesses that have closed.
Mm.
And why did all of those close? They didn't do marketing, or they didn't do the right marketing, they didn't do enough marketing, you know, they ran out of money doing other things. And that's what I get passionate and worked up about, is I don't want these places to close. Like, so, like, do marketing.
I saw in the last month 5 different businesses post on social media that they were closing forever, and as a test to myself, I went back and looked at when they had posted before that post about them closing, like when the gap was. They were all months ago. They're all November, December, and earlier, which now, as we're recording, is like 3 to 5 months ago. And like that, to me, frankly, didn't tell me everything I needed to know. But right away, I'm like, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You're not telling anybody what you do, what you sell, the solution that you have, the problem that you can fix. It was just fascinating to me.
And I think the part, I'll loop this back, I hear talk about Dr. J.J. Peterson, who is part of StoryBrand and wrote his thesis on narrative marketing and basically proved it works for every business when you actually implement it. But he talks about reposting the boring stuff. And it was specific to someone who owned a shed building post. And he said, yes, you are going to get sick of seeing that same post over and over and over, but somebody that day is going to discover you for the first time and be surprised by it. So all these businesses, I think sometimes you think you have to start with, like, let me introduce myself, and then go through this linear thing, and you think the whole world is being introduced to you at once and following you as you go. But the reality is new people discover you every day. So yeah, you have to just keep being out there in whatever way you're in. So it doesn't have to be social media, but there's just lots of ways to, you know, going and sitting in the coffee shop for someone like myself is a way to, like, randomly meet new people sometimes. Maybe it's not the best way to do it, but it's an activity that's introducing yourself to someone new every day.
I sat down with Jess, who does the social media posts for Thrive, to kind of walk her through my methodology, because she was saying, like, she was getting bored of doing the same posts over and over again. So she went off script, and I was like, hey, here's what we're doing and why. And when I sat down and explained it, she's like, well, I understand that a lot more now. Yeah. Because I said, you're the only one. You, me, and a handful of other people are the only people that see every single one of these posts.
Yeah, I don't... People talk to me about... Like, I'm in Thrive, and lots of people think I'm part, like, owner of Thrive or part of the marketing, and I have my toe dipped in, but people won't talk about stuff, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I just see stuff randomly, like everyone else.
And, like, that's it. Like, there's the new person to Lindsay that's going to see it for the first time. It's the person that's lived here forever that doesn't know that we exist. I've heard people get upset that they've had businesses for 5+ years, and they'll hear from other people that, oh, I didn't know that you were there. I didn't know that you exist. And maybe it kind of sucks, but at the same time, it's like, great. Now you know who I am.
Shows me the opportunity.
Like, yeah, there's so much opportunity.
Always think, if you're down in your business, sales aren't going well, but you are confident in what you deliver, like, just think of the number of people who don't even know you exist.
Yeah.
And the overwhelming part, and this is for me as a business coach, it's like, all of these people don't know I exist, don't know I can help, but the reality is that they're not going to just hire me the first minute they know I exist. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to train them a bit, or like, every business is different. Maybe you have to show them a few things before they actually come to your store, and maybe they have to look around it twice before they start buying stuff, and then before you know it, they're there all the time. Like, that cycle exists for everyone. And
I'm getting more mad, sorry to interrupt, but like, it's insane. So like, if you go, like, you brought up dating someone or marrying someone, right? Like, you wouldn't just immediately walk out to the street, see someone, and marry them. You'd go on dates with them. You'd get to know them. You'd have, like, a couple coffee dates. You'd do whatever. You'd go to a movie. You'd go for dinner. You'd do these things that would build towards, okay, now I'm ready for the final outcome, which is now that purchase.
If I walked out on the street right now and just started asking everyone I see, will you marry me? 0% chance anybody says yes. If I went out and said, can I buy you a coffee? Someone's probably going to say, sure. I don't want to do that experiment, but like, I'm pretty sure if we were betting on which one's going to get more successful, the, yeah, I'll buy you a coffee is going to work. Does it lead to marriage? Probably not. Maybe not, but it has way more of a chance than if I'm sitting in this room hoping that someone walks in, knocks on the door, and says, will you marry me? Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. I want to throw back real quickly to, if you want to wrestle us, email, set it up at...
That'd be fun. We could be, like, heel wrestlers. Kawartha... Wrestling?
Yeah. I meant to add it to the list, like, because I do want to talk about wrestling. Because I have very strong business opinions about it that will, not to, like, be cheesy, but, like, that will surprise people. Listen to that episode soon.
Will they be a game changer?
Be a game changer.
Game changer?
Authentic innovation. And
what a great way to finish off an episode. And that's our show. Matt, what's the... What do you want the people to know, and where can they find you?
I want them to go to mattygdigital.com and book a call.
Awesome. And I want them to go to profitcoach.ca and book a call with me. If you'd like to be on the podcast, please reach out to us, and we can make that happen at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.